Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast.
You're listening to the Star Wars Sessions with Matt Hudson and Luke Bly.
This is where the fun begins.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are in the galaxy, and welcome to Star Wars Sessions, the show where Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars is the subject. My name is Matt Hudson, aka Jabba the Hutt, and joining me once more in the cockpit of the Essex Falcon is the greatest Star Wars man, fan and buddy out there. He's taking time off from being the governor of Naboo. It's Blyo Bibble himself.
Yes! This is mental. We have not gone one show without a recycled Bly pun yet. And Matt, this is all because of you. You absolute spicy legend. How are you, mate?
Very, very good, mate. Yeah, nice dark Monday evening to do some talking with. I've got to say, though, for Blyo Bibble, I had some help from some friends of that one. Blyzak Pevy, Eric Blylison came up with it, and Curtis Smith Bly came up with it as well. So we're getting collaborative in our approach yes. now, mate. So, but all good here. Yes. How about yourself, though?
Yeah, I'm absolutely groovy, mate. I've had a spicy weekend with family.
Nice.
Had some naughty food. Had a Chinese yesterday, Ooh. Which is filth. And all whatnot. And spending time with family and getting used to this autumnal weather. But other than that, mate,
Yeah.
We're ready to shoot the galactic breeze, aren't we?
We are.
Naughty boy.
Autumn brings the breeze and so do we. Let's talk Star Wars. What's been happening in the galaxy, Blylo Ren?
Well, mate. Star Wars Resistance Season 2, Episode 1 debuts on none other than YouTube. Mm-hmm. So, the first episode of Resistance Season 2 came out, and I think it's awesome that they put it on YouTube.
Yes.
I'm of the opinion that all of, like, these animated shows should be, like, on YouTube or something, especially, you know, if the ratings aren't super-duper good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Disney Plus probably... Because Disney Plus is coming out, that's probably never going to happen. But yeah, I thought it was awesome that they put it on YouTube. Have you watched it, Matthias?
I have watched it, yeah. I was a bit late to the party. I didn't realise it was on YouTube. And then I think I saw it on socials. And I thought, as somebody like put it on YouTube, like downloaded it, ripped it and put it on YouTube. I noticed the official Star Wars Kids channel did it. I watched it. I thought it was pretty good. The series, it still isn't mind-blowing to me. It's not blowing me away. This episode... It felt a little bit muted, given how strongly the first season ended. But it's only the first episode of the season. It's just setting up the events of this last season. I think it's going to blast into life in the next coming episode, especially. So we're now getting more into the characters' motivations on both sides with Tam and Kazuda Blyono. It's going to get better. I just hope it doesn't, you know, meander along to a bit of a naff finish. Or alternatively, I hope it doesn't get so good that we think, oh, why don't they carry on? But it is what it is. It's entertaining. It's good fun. And it's set during a period we haven't seen too much of. So, but yeah, I totally agree that putting it on YouTube was a nice little thing for the fans to hold on to. But yeah, I think it may have also been because of the ratings, to be honest.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me, mate. I mean, myself, I've not even watched it yet. I've not even watched the full season of season one. I think I'm like, I've seen the ending of it and mm-hmm. I've seen most of the start and middle. There's just a couple episodes in between that I've not watched. But I'm going to try and find some time this week to sit down and watch it. And I know I've got like the Sky app on my PlayStation that one of my family members hooked me up with.
Same here as well.
And but it's not, we can't celebrate Sky that much because I'm pretty sure that's the reason why we're not getting Mandalorian next month. Or so it seems.
Good away.
Question. For another time.
Yeah.
But that's it really, buddy. I think it's a great move that they put it on YouTube. And hopefully this is the start of many things from the Star Wars universe that will be put on YouTube for public to see for free. I think that's a really awesome way to go. And as far as I'm aware, in terms of production quality and value, this is like the first of its kind, right?
Pretty much. I mean, Forces of Destiny
to be put on YouTube.
Yeah, but for long, kind of like a longer animated show, because Forces of Destiny was what, like 2-3 minutes long, and they were good fun. But yeah, this is certainly for Star Wars anyway. It's a first, I believe.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that's good news, and I'm going to check it out later on in this week.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Something a little bit meatier now, and we know like Luke likes his meat. And this is something
we love
a bit of meat. This is something we've spoken about many times on this show, and we go back and forward. Luke is on one side of the pendulum, I'm on the other side of the pendulum, so this ain't music to my ears. However, so the story is, Rian Johnson, the Last Jedi director, says he would be thrilled if his Star Wars trilogy happens. Bang Showbiz, they asked Rian Johnson recently whether he had any plans to return to the franchise, even though it had been announced he's having a trilogy. But he responded by saying, and I quote, "We'll see. I'm still talking to Lucasfilm and they're figuring out what they're doing." I've heard that bit before. But this bit, he says, "We'll see what happens. I'll be thrilled if it happens. I am working on my own stuff too." So a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned on the news section that Rian Johnson had came out and he pretty much categorically said, "Yeah, still happening. Can't wait. Living the dream, mate." Mm-hmm. And now, if, we'll see.
If.
So I'm going to... I've always thought it's going to happen. You obviously, but you, on the other hand, have been a lot less confident than I have. So you've now seen this. I'm assuming this is just kind of vindicating what you've been thinking.
Yeah, this, for me, was it a couple of weeks ago I said I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Rian, you know, comes forward and says, look, the trilogy's not happened after episode 9.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? This isn't – Lucasfilm and Disney do not want this news to be, like, spreading loads before episode 9, right? They want positive press going out on the lead up to The Rise of Skywalker, because why the heck not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the fact that Rian's wording – and this is if. Now, let's be honest, we all say things, or I say things in this podcast that I might not necessarily mean, or a few months down the line, I might even, my mind would have been changed, yeah, right? That's just how humans work. And people make mistakes, right? So even despite the fact this is coming from Rian's mouth, you know, directly, I wouldn't take it as gospel, you know? The Rian trilogy could still be happening. I think it's not going to happen. I think they've already agreed it's not going to happen. And let's not forget here, this isn't just to do with Lucasfilm. I actually personally think it's probably in Lucasfilm's interest to maybe stay clear of Rian Johnson for the time being, because he has been so controversial in the Star Wars community. And that might be half of the Star Wars community. It might be a minority. It's very hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to tell. But the Last Jedi, you know, most purchased Blu-ray of the year when it came out, mm-hmm. beating Infinity War, you know, I mean, that's not a failure, is it?
It's a big deal.
That's not a failure. That's a big deal. That is a very, 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 very big deal. However, let's remember here, there's two sides to every coin. Rian Johnson might be sitting there going, do you know what? I've had to mute all the comments on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. I get constant flack for The Last Jedi every single day.
Yep.
I don't want to do this. So I'm going to call up Kathleen Kennedy right now and I'm going to say, look, this trilogy that we had planned, it ain't happening. It's not happening. I cannot be bothered with it. But Kathleen says, listen, Rian, just keep face, keep doing your thing, keep acknowledging that it could be in the works or something. Just be very indirect with it and, you know, don't confirm anything. And then after episode nine, that's when we can say, actually, our interests are going separate ways. That's how I see it happening.
And all of that makes a lot of sense. I think it would be a massive shame if he does depart the franchise, because I'd love to see what an original Rian Johnson trilogy without any saga baggage would be like, when he's free to do what he wants and nobody can say, oh, that's not my Luke Skywalker, because you won't be in it. Do what you want with the characters. And again, I've mentioned before, Rian Johnson is potentially on the verge of becoming an Oscar nominated director. He will be able to pick and choose his projects and he'll be free to make what he wants. Why would he want to put up with the flack he gets from a section of fans? But for me, as a film fan, I would be, you know, I'd be so disappointed, because I'd love to see what a filmmaker of his clear talent can do with a open book. And on the other side of that as well, it's going to cast doubt on the picking power, if you will, or the decision making at Disney/Lucasfilm. Because obviously, I mentioned it before, there was issues apparently with JJ on The Force Awakens. The Gareth Edwards, Tony Gilroy saga on Rogue One. The Colin Trevorrow incident with Episode 9, he was gone. Obviously, the Lord and Miller problems with Solo. There is problems plaguing every film, or you know, every kind of key decision. Apart from The Last Jedi, which is the only one that seemingly didn't have any kind of problems.
Yeah, ironic.
Ironic. And so, you know, every time a big decision is made, it's backtracked upon. And how many more times can this happen? Now, I'm not calling for Kathleen Kennedy's head. I think she's done magnificent things for the franchise. So none of that. So we'll quash that right now. But it is worrying that every time a big announcement comes in, this kind of thing happens as well. So I'd be disappointed if this happens.
And personally, I think Kathleen Kennedy has been a phenomenal, fantastic president of Lucasfilm.
Yeah, I agree.
I think the best thing about Kathleen is that she learns. She learns her lessons. And listen, prior to The Last Jedi, we had The Force Awakens, which was a safe bet, a solid entry into the Star Wars episodic Skywalker saga.
Yep.
Right? It was safe, though. Played it safe, and there's nothing wrong with that. It hit real good notes, familiar visuals, and I loved it. The world loved it.
Yep.
Everyone loved it, right? The number one criticism of that film is that it wasn't original enough. And, you know,
yes.
People are fair enough. A lot of people can't see that was almost necessary. It's almost like everything else is a checkmate. Everything else was a checkmate,
yeah.
apart from this move. And I think they executed it, really well, right? Rogue One, again, they tried something completely different. Rogue One, so good. It was, honestly, people adore that film. However, it's clinging to the original trilogy. It's clinging to very familiar visuals, familiar characters, right? So again, and Jamie Stangroom in our big shout out, big geezer, love it. Oh, not big legend. He mentioned it last week. You know that it was familiar, mm-hmm. And it in a lot of ways it took risks, but also it played it safe.
Yeah,
The Last Jedi. You may have heard of it. Now, this one, I feel like Kathleen Kennedy told Ryan, you know, Ryan, go nuts.
Do your
thing. This is the beef patty in a quarter pounder.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. This is the beef. This is the naughty bit of beef. And I think Ryan just did that. He used a lot of creativity on a film where JJ left him a lot of open doors, right? Yeah. You know, and he didn't do it to how, you know, a lot of people would have done that differently. A lot of people. I would have done some things differently with Episode 8, but we all would do things differently. We're all different people. But anyway, I still think this just comes down to the fact that Ryan, I honestly don't think he wants to do a Star Wars film. And I personally, when I watch him and when he talks, I think that kind of comes across as obvious. And it's something that people forget. People forget that Lucasfilm are calling the shots here. Now, it's not just Lucasfilm. Ryan has a say in this too.
Of course, yeah.
So that's my two pennies worth, Matthias.
Yep, that's fair enough. Yeah, JJ put the oven on and Ryan brought the beef. All I'll end up on saying is I completely agree. If Ryan Johnson turned around and said, do you know what, actually, I can't be bothered. I'm going to make my own risk-taking original films. I'm going to make films like Knives Out, which get A-list casts, which get Oscar buzz, which the critics love and people love. Yeah. Well, I certainly hope I will. I'm really looking forward to it. One month it comes out in. He could just turn and say, I'm going to make a legacy for myself now of great films rather than being the guy who persisted with a franchise which he clearly likes, but you don't want to be known as a guy who just carried on in the face of people telling you you're wrong, because George Lucas did that and look what happened to him. So I will end up on that by saying that I want this to be false, because I want Ryan to do his trilogy, But I'm open to the idea now that it may not happen, but I'm clinging on, man.
Yeah. And let's see. I'm leaning towards it's not going to happen. Yeah. But there we go. And I'm sure more of this will come out the woodwork in the coming months, especially after episode 9. Yeah, I'm telling you, mate. I'm calling it. But up next, are we ready to move on? Because I know that's a meaty subject, and it's also a slightly emotive subject. But we good.
I think we're
Should
good.
We close the door on that for
Something
the time being.
A bit lighter now, yeah, maybe.
Okay, cool. Anyway, The Journey to Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker, Episode 9, the end of the Skywalker saga, continues this week with Marvel's Star Wars Allegiance issue number 1. So Star Wars Allegiance is a 4-part comic miniseries that will be released every week throughout October.
Yeah.
So it's out, it's about, people are reading it, they're taking it in, and obviously this is set in between episodes 8 and 9. So this is new territory, people. This is new territory. Matt, Lord of Canon, Prince of Canon.
I'll take Prince. Makes me feel young.
Prince. Yeah. Tell me, mate. Have you read this bad boy yet?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I've got. Thing
of course
is,
he has.
I read these things, but I don't. I need to start pulling the Blywalker and putting it on the stories and on the socials. Like the copy of it. I have read it, and you know what? I thought it was really good. I really, really enjoyed
really?
It. I did. Have you procured it or heard anything about it or read it at all?
Well, you know me, mate. I know about it. And I love a hard copy. Yeah. That's how the cookie crumbles. Listen, I really like hard copies of comics. So yeah. I'm thinking I might pop over to the comic book shop in Basildon, in Bazzy, and try and pick up a copy maybe this Friday. Yeah, I'm going to try and go to the comic book shop and pick up a copy, because especially I've said on here, the miniseries really appeal to me. I don't want these ongoing crazy long light series. I'm more leaning toward the miniseries. So yeah, I think I'm going to pick this up. From what I have seen, I've not seen a lot about it, but from what I have seen and read, it seems to be pretty positive. The reaction seems to be pretty positive. So that's good news, I think, right?
Yeah, I think most people seem to like it. I mean, I think most people I've said have said it's good. I thought it was really good. I thought, do you know what? It felt vital to me. Not like it was. It's not. Ooh. It's not a required bit of reading before The Rise of Skywalker. But it's a bit of it's in a comic book which actually felt like it meant something for once. And there was awesome. When I read it, there was this kind of feeling of momentum now. To me, that like, I was reading it thinking, right, now it feels like the end is nigh, if you will. This is really it. The Resistance are rallying support for the last hurrah, which is going to be obviously The Rise of Skywalker. So it felt like a comic which was actually leading up to something, which was sowing the seeds. But again, I caveat that by saying, of course, it's not required reading, but it will only help, I imagine, only enhance your experience. But you know what? I thought it was really good. I thought the art was good. It didn't use that kind of weird face tracing technique which so many comics use nowadays. But I don't know, I mean, people might read it and think it was all right, but I thought it was really good. I think the newest one comes out on the day this drops, on Star Wars Sessions Wednesday, the second issue comes out, and I think the authors may have listened to the older Jibber Jabber of Jabber the Hutt the other day, consider when it comes to canon characters. So I was quite pleased about that. But yeah, I'm not going to go into the story because obviously you haven't read it and the listeners may not have read it. So, but you know, everybody gets a little bit to do.
Yes, good heads up. It's a good heads up. I'm definitely going to check it out, man.
Yeah, do it. And if you do what I don't do and post it online. Let us see you've got it.
Yeah, you naughty boy.
I apologise, guys. But yeah, I look forward to hearing what you've got to say about that and the Rose Tico comic.
Oh, dude. You know for a fact there's a journal of Luke Blywalker coming on that bad boy.
Sweet.
Or bad girl.
Oh, ooh. Bad girl.
Bad girl. Yeah, bad girl.
Bad girl. So let's wrap up this little bit of news then. And elsewhere, the little bits that come out from the galaxy this week, Kylo Ren's identity and his face is apparently unknown to the First Order, and the species of the Knights of Ren are being kept under wraps. And Anthony Daniels, C-3PO himself, he doesn't think that there's going to be a Rise of Skywalker boycott. Outside of the galaxy, in this Earth thing we live on, Kind of looks like Rose Tico's being removed from the official merchandise. Star Wars and Adidas have joined forces for this new Star Wars Adidas R2 Nike Jogger sneakers, which look actually pretty boss. And on a lighter bit of note, Hot Topic put out a t-shirt recently which said the Mandalorian was Boba Fett, which is very quickly removed because he ain't Boba Fett.
Absolute schmucks. Yeah.
But couple of cool little bits there. I'm looking forward to when the First Order, the majority of them, actually find out who Kylo Ren really is.
Just to let you know as well, like on especially that Mandalorian thing, I just want to give you guys a little tidbit, just because it doesn't really fit into the show anywhere else. But I'm going to let you guys now know this. Someone in my office, right, like a Swedish guy who's, you know, doesn't watch Star Wars, not interested, not a sci-fi fan. Guess what? He's seen little bits of the Mandalorian. And he wants to watch it.
Nice.
He's like, yeah, when's that come out again? And that's obviously an awkward conversation where you're like, well, Frederick, we're not actually 100% sure when it comes out.
But anyway, man, though, Frederick.
I thought that was pretty cool, you know, that someone who's not even interested in the Star Wars saga is interested in the Mandalorian. You know, this is a dude who's like into Game of Thrones and stuff like that and like other box sets and whatnot. So I thought that was a cool little tidbit to tell yourself and the best listeners in the galaxy.
There we go. Well, Frederick, we certainly hope you get to see the Mandalorian soon. And everybody out there, what we think about the Mando not being in the UK is in the Sacred Something by Kara fanzine coming out very soon. So we're looking forward to that. But yeah, some cool little bits of news there. The Rose Tico thing was quite emotive for me because I use that term sparingly. But yes, it does look like she's being taken off all of the posters which she was originally on. But yeah, that is another story for another time because that's blowing up online. But yeah, Knights of Ren, species, God knows what they are. Anthony Daniels doesn't think anyone's going to boycott The Rise of Skywalker. So before we move on, do you think anyone's going to boycott The Rise of Skywalker, or do you think everyone's going to go and see it anyway?
Of course they are. There's always a minority that boycotts it, right? But those people that are all claiming that The Last Jedi, you know, has like destroyed their life and something like that, you know, whatever, dude. They're going to go see episode 9.
Yeah.
They're going to go see episode 9. Don't be daft. It's going to smash it.
We're all going to be there. We're all going to be making videos and podcasting about it. So come join the fun.
Hi, this is Jamie Stangroom. You're listening to the Star Wars Session podcast, probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast.
So earlier on in the show, we had a little chit-chat about Rian Johnson and The Last Jedi. The Last Jedi was a divisive film, and whatever part of the fence that you kind of sit on that, there were some great bits and there were some brilliant bits, right?
Mm-hmm.
I myself, one of my favorite bits, not just in The Last Jedi, but actually in the entire Star Wars saga, is when Yoda and Luke are talking in The Last Jedi. So, Jabba the Hutt, Matt.
Yes, mate.
Geezer, legend. What are we going to do? We're going to have a little cheeky breakdown, aren't we?
We're going to have a little cheeky chat. We're going to have a session scene breakdown. We're going to be dropping some audio clips of that scene, and we're going to be discussing what it meant to us. What did we like about it? Just a scene in general, because it's a big scene. It's a big moment in the saga, to be honest, and I thought this was a wicked idea, to be honest.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's just there's for me, there's like a lot in this scene, and I've caught myself over, especially the last like month or two.
Mm-hmm.
I fire up the old YouTube and I just watch this scene. I cannot get enough of it. So how are we going to do this? We're going to do this in a few different parts, and we're going to play the audio to you guys, and then we're going to discuss it bit by bit. Okay, we good?
I think we're good, mate. Should we drop part one?
Mate, when you're ready to press play, press that bad boy.
Here we go. Boop.
Master Yoda.
Young Skywalker.
I'm ending all of this. The tree, the text, the Jedi. I'm gonna burn it down.
Hmm.
Skywalker. Mister, have I?
Ah, Skywalker. Missed you, we have indeed. So there we go, Master Yoda. You at the start of that scene, the music, the sound, everything, it's intense. Obviously, Luke has that like fire, like torch thing that looks kind of like a grenade,
it's
but it's just like
when
a
he came around the corner.
It's just a fat off lighter. and he runs up and he goes to do it. He goes to do it, and then what do we see?
Mate, that pan, we see the camera pans to Luke walking up the stairs, and suddenly these blue-hued ears and little wispy bits of hair just what the back of Yoda's head. And that was such a... When Yoda was revealed, I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you did, as long as you love me, that was a great moment. I nearly yelped in the cinema when that happened. Literally, I was so excited, my hand was like... I didn't expect it, because I remember beforehand... I know one of your buddies as well correctly predicted Yoda was coming back.
Yeah.
But I was so swept up in it, I wasn't even thinking about Yoda or anybody coming back. I was just thinking, oh, what's Luke going to do? Then we see Yoda. I was like, this is incredible. And he had, like you say, Luke's about to go and burn down the tree. Do you think he was going to put himself in the tree and kill himself in the tree? Because he went to the island to die. Or was he just going to burn the tree down?
It's a really good question. I think, from my understanding, is that Luke wasn't like feeling himself during that time and stuff. He was like really down in the dumps, a bit depressed. So, you know, maybe that was the intention. I don't know. Luke's purpose in this scene was to end the Jedi Order because of what he's already explained in the film. And I think it kind of... That kind of makes sense. It's a good question, though. Good question, mate.
Because he's got his white ceremonial robes on, because that's what he wore when Rey, met him. Like they, you know, hung out together. But when she first encountered him on Ukto, and then he got dressed up into his kind of like, you know, Jedi jogging suit. And then for this big moment, he got his robes on again. And I think the novel, the Last Jedi novel, called them like ceremonial robes or something like that. So they were ceremonial... or ceremonious, if that's a word, of something. Anyone out there listening, let us know if that's correct. I'm pretty sure it is, though. But yeah, that's before he says anything, of course, before he sensed Master Yoda. But when upon rewatching this scene, because when Luke pitched the idea, firstly, I could have cried in delight because I love this scene. But I've gone back and rewatched this so many times, and it struck me. I thought, what was it? I know it's because it's quite a morbid thing. If it was to be confirmed, you think, oh, that's quite a depressing thought, but. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he would have just stood there and watched everything burn. But he did go to the island to die, in his own words.
That is such an interesting tidbit and thought.
Because obviously, Rey's gone, hasn't he? Rey's left him. Rey and Luke had their kind of, like, what's it called, like aerial and lightsaber fight and whatever it was, and... Luke said this isn't going to go the way you think, and Rey's gone now, so he's obviously completely withdrawn now from the Jedi. He's had enough, so that's what got me thinking, because that leads into this scene.
Of course. And then obviously Luke goes on to say, I'm ending all of this, the tree, the text, the Jedi.
Yep.
I'm going to burn it down. And then what happens? Our boy?
Our little green geezer, he thinks, oh, well, come on. He's like, this schmuck, as Luke would say, he hasn't got the guts to go through with this.
That's it. And the lightning strikes and the tree burns down. Anyway, Luke like goes like explodes off and like freaks out. He's a mess,
after
right?
All that big talk.
Emotionally, he's a mess, isn't he? And Yoda goes, oh, Skywalker, missed you, I have. And I love that scene. And even during all of this scene, my wife, who isn't even really a Star Wars fan, like kind of held my arm. Like she kind of grabbed my arm because even she realized like how much of a big deal this was. You know, like before this film, we had no inkling that Yoda would be back. And lo and behold, you know, after more than a decade off screen, here he is. Our boy Yoda is back
practical Yoda
on the
as
big
well.
Screen, and it's practical. And before we move on, I just wanted to mention the practical Yoda. You digging it? You like it? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I do. I like the fact that you can tell that it is a puppet. That it's a little green puppet once more. And
yeah.
Mark Hamill worked so well with the green puppet on The Empire Strikes Back. I can't imagine him working with a CGI Yoda. I can't imagine him wanting to work with like a pretend CGI Yoda.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought it looked really good because I don't know if it was intentional, but it looked like a Yoda that was almost fresh-faced.
Yeah.
It didn't look like a Yoda that's been worn down after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It looked like a fresh-faced Yoda, and I think that was intentional. But yeah, I loved that it was a puppet. I loved that he was moving around and his little feet were like
giggling.
It was so Star Wars. It was so Star Wars. And what a great way to introduce our brilliant heroes back into the franchise and into the sequel trilogy. So I think we got that intro. You want to resume?
I think so. I just love the way they kind of say, like, Luke senses Yoda behind him. And he just turns around as his master, Yoda.
Yes.
And then Yoda says, young Skywalker. They have that moment of acknowledgement. And then Luke thinks,
yes,
oh, I'm going to burn it down anyway. Type thing. I love that. And then obviously we get cheeky Yoda. It's a brilliant in terms of this kind of introductory section. I love that opening salvo. Luke's cut himself off from the Force, but he senses his old master behind him.
Yes, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. Visually, this just looks incredible. It looks incredible. But in terms of dialogue, I think the best is yet to come.
I think so, mate. So shall we jump on to part number two?
Let's do it.
So it is time for the Jedi Order to end.
Time it is. For you to look past a pile of old books.
The sacred Jedi texts.
Oh, read them, have you? Well, I mean, page turners, they were not. Yes, yes, yes. Wisdom they held, but that library contained nothing that the girl Rey does not already possess. Skywalker, still looking to the horizon. Never here. Now. The need in front of your nose.
So it is time for the Jedi Order to end. Or is it just time for him to look past a pile of books, Master Blywalker?
Oh, it's time for him to look past a pile of books. Yes. The sacred Jedi text. See, people, I mean, the page turner thing, right? How are you feeling about that?
Mate, when I heard it in the cinema, I laughed and it got a laugh in the cinema. People weren't belly laughing, but it was good fun.
No, it was like a little chuckle, yeah, right?
And this is Ryan getting the comedy right.
Yeah, which, in my opinion, I don't think The Last Jedi, I think the comedy in The Last Jedi is naff.
Exactly.
I don't think it's good. But with this one, I think you got it pretty spot on.
It worked.
It did work. It did work. And it is Yoda. You look at Yoda in the original trilogy. He's a right cheeky little chappy.
He's a prankster, isn't he? He's a dry joker.
He is. He is an absolute, lad. There we go. And look, listen, Matt. My, this is like absolutely incredible. Obviously, Yoda says, yeah. Time for you to look past a pile of old books, right?
Yep.
Because the thing he is saying is, this ain't about the books, mate.
Yep.
This isn't about that. The Jedi, the Force, it's more. It's bigger. It's bigger than that, right? And Luke even knows this. Right? Now, this is so clever. Wisdom they held. And I didn't even know this. I didn't even realize this on my first viewing. Right. It was only like, I think on the second, and it was mentioned to me after. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let me mention it first. Wisdom they held, but the library contained nothing that the girl Rey does not already possess.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the film, what do we find out?
She's got those bookie wooks.
Yoda, you sly little so-and-so. You sly dog, you, Yoda. You sly. in more than one way, we find out, no, Rey just swipes them.
Yeah.
Rey was thinking to herself, well, Luke, you're not using them, mate. I'm going to swipe them.
Yoink.
Yoink. Oh, it's just, it's lovely. It's lovely. And I remember in the cinema feeling, especially when they're just sitting there together talking. Mm-hmm. It was one of those moments in the sequel trilogy where you're like, yeah, this is Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Star Wars. This is Star Wars. It's just storytelling. It's lessons. Wow. And then obviously Yoda goes Skywalker, still looking to the horizon. How are you feeling about that?
Mate, it's the feels, isn't it? Because your mind instantly goes back to, or mine does anyway, to A New Hope when young Luke Skywalker is looking out to the horizon with the Force theme blaring. And it takes you back to that moment. It takes you back to the first time you saw the film. It brings it all back again, which is something that this scene does so well. It brings back that proper sort of nostalgic buzz, warm feeling for those days gone by, but it doesn't make you long for them. This belongs alongside them, this part does. It's yes. I really like that bit. And about the bit before, do you know what? I love how seemingly Yoda knows of Rey via the Force, and he knows what she's capable of as well. Do you know what I mean? Thousands of generations worth of knowledge and level ups in those books. Nah, Rey knows that already. Yes, mate. He already knows she nicked those books as well. So I love how, even though he's sort of not there, he's kind of omnipresent. He knows, Yoda knows what's going on. He knows Rey. He's aware of what she's doing.
Yes.
And this scene, again, it just shows how Luke Skywalker is clinging on to the Jedi of the past and his own personal feelings. He's not seeing the bigger picture, which is obviously when Yoda clumps him around the head. Still looking to the horizon. He's still not letting go, if you will, which is something Kylo Ren says actually in the film. You've got to let go. And that's what Luke needs to do to stop. He needs to open up and see that there's more to the Jedi, more to the Force, or even just more to the Force than the Jedi, but more than just a couple of old books, which he didn't even read anyway, which, again, the way when Yoda asked, read them, have you? And he's like, it's that kind of camaraderie between a puppet and Mark Hamill, which, as you said, it's Star Wars. It just feels like
it feels Star Wars. So right.
Yeah, that is that moment when you see they're still looking to the horizon. It sums up Luke Skywalker's character as well, because he's always been that kind of the dreamer, if you will, always looking to the horizon. Yes. But in this instance, where he is at now, or at this particular point in the saga, he's closed himself off and he's looking in the wrong direction. He needs to be looking elsewhere.
And if you really look at Luke Skywalker as a character during the original trilogy, he was very much so looking at the horizon, literally and metaphorically, right? He's always looking at the future, not the here, not the now. You know, that's why he, in Return of the Jedi, chucks his lightsaber to the side, because he's thinking, look, you know, like, I'm not gonna like go down like as a villain just to win, right? Forget that. And although it's quite impulsive in itself, you know, it's not always, that's not what he was sent there to do.
Yep.
Right. And even in Empire Strikes Back, you know, he doesn't listen to Obi-Wan and Yoda. He goes, he fights Vader because he feels like he can turn him. He feels like he can change the future. Right. He disobeys Yoda and Obi-Wan and he looks at his own vision, his own dreams. Like you said, he's a dreamer, right? But that's what makes Luke Skywalker Luke Skywalker. And the truth is, you need a Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
You need a Luke Skywalker to be the visionary, to be the dreamer, right? But he also, as a master, he needs to know what's in front of him. He needs to learn what's also just in front of you.
Yeah.
Pay attention to those closer to you, right? And it's a brilliant lesson.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant lesson. And it's that classic wisdom, you know, and that is the difference. You know, episode 2, Attack of the Clones, what did old Dexter say?
Dexter Jetster. Well, he's...
Jetster Dexter, whatever the hell his name is,
I was going to do some of his quotes then, but I can't do his voice like you can.
He was like, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. something like that. He's got some like weird ruffled up like Bristolian accent or something, but yeah, and that's true.
Yeah,
that is true, right? You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't know how to apply it,
yep,
it's pretty useless.
It's just and a you're load wasting of books on the time. Shelf.
There we go. Oh, there we go.
Do you know what I also like as well? It's so cool to hear the classic characters mentioning the new characters. So having Yoda say Rey, it's like little things like that. It's kind of it connects it all up, and I love hearing it. Similar to in Rebels when Palpatine said Ezra Bridger and stuff like that. I like hearing stuff like that. And from this little section, the overriding feel I got, which again is down to the clever writing and the execution, drink, and the tone and the comedy as well. And I don't want to say comedy, the tone and the levity is that Luke is like a naughty schoolboy. He's being scolded by his teacher. That's how I feel, because, you know, Luke was so very confident beforehand, he's going to burn this tree down. And then when Yoda starts, you know, saying to him, you're going to look past these books, you've read them, have you? And he starts kind of floundering, and when Yoda's talking to him, Luke's still kind of just looking behind him, and he gets a whack on the knee and a whack on the head. He's like a naughty schoolboy.
And it's always important to remember that Yoda is so much older than Luke, right? What was he, like 900 years old by Return of the Jedi or something, right? Right, and Luke definitely is not that old, right? and Yoda has gone beyond, right?
Yep.
He is one with the Force, and he is there to pass on his knowledge, right? And Luke's there, but fortunately, he's listening. He's not arguing with him. He's just almost just telling it how it is. He's consoling him.
Yeah.
And he's not been able to do this because maybe no one else would understand.
Yeah.
Maybe Yoda was the only one who'd really understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's lovely.
Yeah. But I think you're right. That's the one thing I took from this scene as well, was that Yoda, I think, was the only one who could really pull Luke out of his funk, I think. I mean, maybe an Anakin Skywalker could have done. Maybe we're yet to see him in The Rise of Skywalker. Who knows? But Yoda seems to me like the one character, established character, who has had interaction with Luke, who could kind of say to him, look, come on, let's talk this out. Let's get you on the right track. And, let's have the Skywalker rise once more. So that's what I took as well. So, yeah, it's a good point.
Absolutely. Absolutely, mate. And again, this scene just keeps getting better, doesn't it?
It does. Part three, shall we?
Part three, mate. Part three.
I was weak. Unwise.
Lost Ben Solo, you did. Lose Rey, we must not.
I can't be what she needs me to be.
Heeded my words not, did you? Pass on what you have learned. Strength, mastery. But weakness... folly. Failure also. Yes, failure most of all. The greatest teacher failure is. Luke. We are what they grow beyond. That is the true burden of all masters.
Oh, mate.
Wow.
Mate.
The music. The music. That's what I want to say first. The music. How faultless is the music in this scene?
Mate, you get the... like you said in the first section, it starts off with this kind of imposing, like towering horns as Luke's going towards a tree. And it ends, and you get the Force theme, and then it ends with Yoda's theme played so... almost delicately over his speech in this scene. It's the way it goes from A to B is just brilliant. And that is, again, another reason why I can't wait to see what John Williams is going to give us for The Rise of Skywalker, his final film, because The Last Jedi score showed he's never going to lose it. He's never lost it. He's still got it. And this scene encapsulates that brilliantly.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And I mean, Luke starts off this section with saying, I was weak, I'm wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like kind of we elaborated to just a second ago, you know, this is him just being honest. He's just being really like level with him, being very transparent.
Yeah.
Like, I made a mistake, which is very human. It's very normal of him, even of someone in that higher up in power, in rank, and in accomplishment. Guess what? You're not perfect.
He's a flawed hero.
We're not perfect. He's a flawed hero. And he was never a, you know, like utopian hero. Mm-hmm. He was never perfect.
Nope.
He was always this, you know, kind of underdog hero, right? And Yoda replies, just lost Ben Solo.
Yes.
Not Kylo Ren, Ben Solo.
Yep, he knows.
You did. I think that's quite telling.
Yes. It would have been odd if he said lost Kylo Ren, but the fact that he says lost Ben Solo, you did. Again, Yoda knows what's going on. And is this the first time Luke and Yoda have communed since Return of the Jedi, do you think?
I think it probably is.
The interaction seems like it.
I think it could be. Yeah. I think it could be. I don't know if it's like, if that is like definitely canonized, like
I don't
confirmed.
Know, yeah.
But I really, really wouldn't be surprised if it is, because it seems like it is, like you said.
Mm. Yeah, it's been a long time. Because he says, you know, Sky, what missed you have I? So, I mean, he could have not spoken to him for a couple of years, but I don't know, it seems like they haven't, you know, communed all that much. And we've got that massive gap in between Jedi and, well, The Force Awakens, this sequel trilogy, 30-odd years to fill. So who knows? But yeah, I just wanted to ask you that because I'm kind of,
yeah,
I've got the impression
question,
that he
man.
Did. He hadn't, they hadn't, sorry, spoken.
No, it's a good question. It's a good question. And I mean, obviously he goes on to say, lose Rey, we must not. Yeah. Right, again, like you said, it's great to see these new sequel trilogy characters being mentioned by the OGs.
Yep.
I mean, that's just...
That's cool, isn't it?
Crazy. That is just crazy. And then it kind of just goes straight into the real meat, the real spicy bit of this scene. I can't be what she needs me to be.
He says it so like forcefully as well.
Yeah, I can't be it. Because of that one decision, that one wrong decision I made, that one mistake I made, I can't be it, right? Because I'm responsible for this new villain. You know, that's the way he's looking at it. And, you know, I totally understand and get that. But Yoda goes and drops the knowledge bomb, doesn't he, Matt?
Go on, mate.
Heeded my words, not did you. Pass on what you have learned. Strength, mastery, but weakness. Folly, failure also. Oh my days. That dialogue, man, that line is mental good. Mental good.
The greatest teacher failure is.
Yeah.
It's just what it's a great yeah. it's all of that is like you said, the message. Star Wars has always had underlying messages, especially in the original trilogy as well, and this is it. You can teach somebody with all the best will and intention in the world how to do something, but if they don't know how to fail, if they don't understand weakness, then do you know how will you ever advance yourself? And the greatest teacher failure is. And I mean, he goes on as well, but that little bit there is so good, and this is pure kind of Yoda to me. This is the Yoda I wanted, and wise Yoda.
Yeah. And this reminds me of my boy Michael Jordan, who says like I think there's a quote. This is like there's like a quote of him like saying like I fail again, I fail, I fail, I fail, and that is why I succeed.
Yeah.
And right, because that's true. And you look at the best sportsmen, right? Even some of you know, like debatably some of the most successful empires, you know, before becoming an empire, before becoming a top dog, you know, they've had a lot of failures, they've had a lot of like things, you know, go wrong, and experiences that have driven them through to the other side. And that's what Luke isn't getting here. You know, the truth is he failed in the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
especially in The Empire Strikes Back. But, you know, let's be honest, that's kind of it, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't fail loads other than that. Obviously, he got his hand cut off and that, you know, that's kind of a big deal.
A little bit.
But, you know, A New Hope, he's the farm boy who in a few days goes from no one to shooting down a Death Star.
Yes, he does. Right?
In Return of the Jedi, remember, Empire Strikes Back, you know, this is a kid who's disobedient, goes in, gets hands chopped off. Next time we see him on screen, mate, the dude's a Jedi Master,
yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, he's learned.
Do you know what I mean? Like he's done his learning and stuff. So maybe his training wasn't done. Maybe this was the last thing he needed to do. Maybe this is it. He needed to experience this kind of gripping, horrific failure that everyone goes through, Matt.
Yeah.
Everyone goes through this kind of thing, yeah, right? And that's the kind of hero you want. That is the kind of leader you want. You want someone who's been through this rubbish, horrific, nasty stuff and can, at the end of that, be a hero,
yep,
be inspiring. That is why Luke Skywalker in The Last Jedi, I had no problems with. I said that in Yoda talk.
Well,
if no one got that.
This reminds me of a quote from Chumbawamba. I get knocked down, but I get up back up again. You're never going to keep me down. Mm.
It's true.
I'd like to hear Yoda sing that. Yeah, Luke became the spark. We know that. And we know his Jedi temple was, you know, destroyed by Ben Solo and a couple of other students as well, who possibly became the Knights of Ren. We don't know. So we know that he had that to put up with, plus the fact that he obviously had thoughts about killing his own nephew, fleeting thoughts, but you know, it came and went within a blink of an eye, depending on whose story you believe. So he had to put up with that.
Yeah, and I always look at it as like, it wasn't him sitting there killing his own nephew, right? It was him sitting there protecting and saving what he's built from when he is a farm boy up until a Jedi Master having his own academy, right? It was all of that. It wasn't him just going in and deciding, you know, I'm going to kill Ben Solo.
Slice this guy up.
No,
yeah,
it's him protecting that. But he made a mistake.
Yep.
And there we go.
Yep. And that speech goes on. The music, the Yoda's theme is still going. It's swelling.
Oh.
And he says, of course, the greatest teacher failure is. He says, Luke, we are what they grow beyond. That is the burden of all masters. And this is such a wonderful line. And I find this line extremely relatable. And I did when it came out too, because it gets me thinking about fatherhood and the pressures, yes, and the possibilities. Because you want your own children to learn from yourself. And you want them to eventually surpass you and go on to great things. I know I do.
Of course.
And it's something you think about every day. And it is that kind of, and it is the true burden that your children or your students or whatever, in whatever walk of life you're in, they will one day surpass you because of your teachings, and they will become greater than you, and not in a, you know, not in a overconfident, arrogant way, but that's what you want. And this line, every time I hear it, it makes me think of that, and it makes me think, you know, wow, what could the future hold? Certainly for my young daughter as well, but obviously for anybody out there, like I say, in whatever situation you may be in, there's, It's an extremely relatable line, and it's a fantastic, fantastic bit of writing. And you know, all this speech is just pure bellissimo. It's pure Yoda to me. It's what we want from Yoda. We don't want. We got the flack from the prequels for Yoda doing too much backwards talk and all that kind of stuff, despite the fact that he had some great lines in the prequels. But this is, you know, the best Yoda has been since The Empire Strikes Back for me.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. This is up there with the Luke and Yoda in Dagobah and Empire Strikes Back. I think this is one of my favorite moments in the whole of the Skywalker saga. Yep. In any Star Wars moment, this is definitely one of my favorites. And I keep watching it, Matt. I keep gravitating back to it, because there's so much to learn from it and there's so much to get from it that it it deserves multiple viewings, yeah. You know, in my little crazy opinion. But there we go. Like you said, that is the true burden of all masters. And I tell you what, Rian Johnson, you know, for all the things he did and you know, bless him, he was set with the task of making a Star Wars film that, you know, mixed things up. And it weren't to everyone's taste. But I tell you what, mate, this scene is something special. And it's going to age beautifully.
I couldn't agree more with that. We say that The Force Awakens was too similar, was too much like the old days, and The Last Jedi was far too radical for our liking. However, one of the best scenes, one of the best scenes in the sequel trilogy is the scene that harkens most to the days of old. You know, The Force Awakens had beats, and obviously beats that were similar, but this scene, it's almost like is a continuation of the scene from Empire or Jedi.
It
felt right, and then you get the two of them sitting almost silhouetted against that sort of towering, blazing inferno of the Force tree. What an enduring image. What a brilliant bit of cinematography. And it is, because I mean, we've spoken about the dialogue in this scene and the music, but visually as well, it's got that, it's in the nighttime. There's that kind of mist around in some parts. You've got the embers of the fire around them. At times, it has that kind of ethereal, not full-on pure Dagobah vibe, but there's something otherworldly about it, and it reminds me of those old the days gone by of like Empire and Return of the Jedi. Just visually, how this scene looks, because it could have easily been a flat-looking scene in the dark, but like I say, the brightness from the fire, the embers, the hue around Yoda, which I will say that practical Yoda's got a lot less blue Force ghostiness to him, but I think that visually the scene just looks great. And again, considering that Yoda is a puppet being controlled by Frank Oz, you'd never know that was a set built for a puppet. I wouldn't anyway.
This is an incredible scene, and I'm so happy it exists. And I think also just something I'm going to add, my last thought on this is that it's also something new. Mm-hmm. Like in Star Wars, the theme of failure is not as prevalent as it is during this scene.
Yep.
It's like, guys, you fail. We all fail. The best of us fail. Because guess what? They're not perfect. Mm-hmm. So there's a lesson to be learned. You pass on your failures. You teach people your failures. And you can still inspire. You can still do good. You can still, you know, be a force projection and like make Kylo look like an absolute muppet.
Mug.
But there we go. There we go. I think it's a beautiful scene. The music, the effects, everything. Mwah! Bellissima.
Chef's kiss.
Gorgeous.
In a film. Beautiful. In a film about failure. Obviously, this is, you know, the best encapsulation of that, because we know Poe Dameron bumbles his way through the entire film failing. Finn and Rose on Canto Bight, they don't get the job done there. Rey doesn't get the job done when she goes to confront Snoke and team up with Ben Solo. Kylo Ren, Kylo's the boy who gets it done then. But this is the scene which crystallises that you must learn from your failure, and look what Luke goes on to become. He becomes the legend of Luke Skywalker, inspiring the galaxy. He's a spark that lights the fire that burns the First Order down, and whatever is in store for the rise of Skywalker, JJ is going to, whether he doesn't have to do anything to top anyone, but he's going to have to go some way to topping this scene, because I'm not ready to go out there and say it's my favourite scene of the entire sequel trilogy yet, because we've still got another film to go. However, out of the two films you've got so far, it's rustling right up, it's right near the top there, it's fighting its way up there. So I thought visually, musically, the dialogue, everything about the lesson, the acting, the performance, the nostalgia. What a brilliant, brilliant scene. And, you know, it's testament to my boy, Luke Skywalker, for actually bringing this scene up and having the opportunity to talk about it. Because when you dive into it and you sort of dissect it a little bit, you start to realise that there's so much going on, more than just a great scene between two great characters. There's a lot going on, and great shout for a great scene.
Absa-diddly-ludely.
Mate.
Boom.
Well, shall we take our thoughts? Shall we go and go inside this Bantina, which looks an awful lot like a forest tree.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, mate. Well, a couple of Yoda bombs, please. Barman, tee them up for us.
Yeah. Yoda bombs, yeah. Oh, mate, I'm up for that. Nice. I'm up for a Yoda bomb.
Fancy some. Yeah, it's nice to think on the spot. Thank you, guys. We love hearing from you guys, the best listeners in the galaxy. Of course you are. And we asked you guys whether, firstly, you liked the scene, and secondly, what were your favourite moments from it? So here's a little sprinkling and a little selection from the good stuff that we got.
Here it is, guys. On Twitter, we are simply, if you believe this was the best scene of the film, The Last Jedi. Well, the result was straight down the middle with a 50-50. That's on Twitter. Whereas on Instagram, I said that like an Australian. That's on Twitter.
Hey, Twitter.
Whereas on Instagram. Yeah. Oh, lads. Whereas on Instagram, the result was 68% to 32% in favour of yes, it is. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people out there that really like this scene. I'm guessing probably the Snoke, Rey, Kylo battle scene was probably the main contender to that. But, hey, I will take it.
Yep, I'm happy about that. And speaking of you guys and what you said, here's a wee sampling of what you guys thought of the scene, or just your favourite parts of it. Master Blywalker, shoot.
Let's do it. Donnie Jeep said Yoda admitting his failures and the ones from the old Jedi Order per se, and talking about how failure is a way to learn. I think it's really, really important, not only in Star Wars, but as a life lesson. Yes, Donnie Jeep, you are absolutely spot on, you king. And then Sean Hudson, familiar name, said, I often think about that quote when trying to be a parent. Yeah. I think it's a great line. I love the way Luke says text. Yoda, it's so good. Yoda dissing Luke. You've screwed up on Ben, but we must not lose Rey. He goes on to say, Sean goes on to say, is she the chosen one? then finally, page turners, they were not. Was the only bit I thought, that's not really Yoda. Great scene, though. I got genuinely excited when Yoda was seen as a Force ghost. Great scenes, great movie. One absolute king, Sean. And yes, all those comments are spot on, 5-star.
Yep, I recognise that guy. Nice guy as well. Luke Summerfield said, Yoda being mischievous and playful, showing Luke is still a young learner with Yoda having over 900 years of experience. Then the icing on the cake where Yoda strikes the tree with lightning. The King of Wales comes up with the good stuff again. You're right, though, like you mentioned, Yoda's an old dude. He knows 900 times more than Luke does and ever will do. So listen to what he says. And the wonderfully named Old Jedi said, overall, I thought this was one of the better scenes in The Last Jedi. It was nice to see classic Yoda back with Luke. It was. Although I wish Yoda had kept a little bit more of his scary / creepy tone that he had in The Empire Strike Back, rather than leaning so heavily towards Yoda the jokester. I like serious Yoda better. I think we got a bit of both, though, to be honest, because actually, in The Empire Strikes Back, he was a clown to start with, and then he became serious Yoda, and I think we got a bit of both in there, but I see what you mean, though.
Yeah. He was a proper Joker in The Empire Strikes Back. I'd say he was more so in the beginning of Empire Strikes Back, in the beginning of the Dagobah series. Yeah, fair enough. Up next, Samuel Allen, a.k.a. G-Master G-Marrick08, added, yep, a shocker it was. I never thought another Force Ghost would return to this sequel. So glad it was him. I just wished Rey could wait a few more minutes to see his arrival. A classic that would have been. Oh, mate. Yeah, I think it was all meant to be. Mm-hmm. I think the Force... I mean, personally speaking, I don't know this is bad, but I think the Force maybe pushed Rey aside and said, "Look, Luke, this is it, mate. You've had your chance. Yoda, do something about this." Yeah. And there we go. And that's that. I don't know. That's kind of like how I think about it. But yeah, thanks for the comment, dude.
Yep, the Force started bringing in the big guns, and I'm glad to see the Force Ghost did return. And we know they're coming back in The Rise of Skywalker. Finally, Zach Grace said, probably one of my favourites in the whole franchise. However, the Moonlight Warrior said, that scene is quite insulting. Now, on that note from the Moonlight Warrior, I did reach out to him and just say, you know, just out of interest, dude, what was it you didn't like about it? Because I'm always curious to see the other side. And a few days later, I'm still waiting to find out. But yeah, horses for courses, that's your opinion, and we live with it, my man.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. And everyone's entitled to their opinion. Yeah. And we are more than happy to take the opinions, and I have listeners from all kinds of opinions, because that is what Star Wars is all about.
Yes, I agree, mate. So shall we move on to the Patreon side, mate?
Yeah, mate, let's flipping smash it. First off, we have a proper naughty, spicy question from none other than the king of dovetail design, who made our sexy branding. It's none other than Isaac Pevy.
Whoop.
Who asks, you have to swap two actors' roles in the whole of Star Wars. Who do you swap? And as an example, Hayden for Obi-Wan and Ewan for Anakin. And Isaac goes on to say there is a correct answer. However, there is a rule. No swapping of actors who play the same character, e.g. Alec for Ewan. That's just not cricket. Also, no swapping of parallel characters, e.g. Daisy and Mark, both main heroes. Matt, take it away.
Isaac pulled out all the stops here, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to see Forrest Whitaker and Harrison Ford swap roles, Saw Gerrera and Han Solo,
right?
Just for a laugh. I love you. I know. That would be great. Can you imagine Harrison Ford sneering?
I know.
Can you imagine Harrison Ford in your accent saying, save the rebellion, save the dream? How sarcastic would that sound?
Oh, mate, sign me up.
And, hey, boy, that's not how the Force works. Otherwise, on a more serious note, Adam Driver and Hayden Christensen, if you really must. I think Adam Driver's Anakin would be immense, and Hayden as Kylo would be great, because for the haters who don't like Hayden's performance, he'd be wearing a mask. And people call Kylo a whiner, so apparently Hayden would be fine. That said, I've said many times, I like Hayden Christensen, I like his Anakin, but Adam Driver as Anakin Skywalker and how he became Darth Vader, that would be smoking. So that's my answer. I want to know what Isaac thinks about that, but
okay,
that's what I'm thinking. Adam and Hayden.
I like it. For me, this is like, to me, this almost feels so obvious that it's like cheating. Okay, Daisy Ridley and Natalie Portman. Just switch those Ooh. Guys around. And you've pretty much, like honestly, what's the difference?
Spice-alicious.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, oh, spice-alicious, yeah. I mean, other than that, if it, like, I don't know, like, Finn and... So John Boyega could play, like, a young Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
And there we go. And there we go. Yeah, like, before you know it, we got all kinds of, like, crazy, you know...
I'd like to see Yoda and Chewie swap places.
Yeah, biology in Star Wars, just like, it's crazy. It's softer Richter. There we go. So, yeah, no, but I reckon that's like the right answer. But, yeah, Isaac, please tell us the right answer, because obviously, like you said, there is a correct one. And we are buzzing to know, mate.
Don't leave us hanging, Isaac. One more time, Dovetail Designs, thank you so much for our smoking branding, mate. Everybody go check them out. We have another question from a new patron, George Constantinou. What a name. He said, I'm a huge fan of the prequels, being 22, and that's the first reason I'm listening to you today. Well, thank you so much for that, George. Apart
Lad.
From the Master and Apprentice novel, which is amazing, I agree, and the odd comic here and there, I feel as if they're going to leave the prequel era behind. With games, books, TV series and films being released in the next decade, do you think they'll make any live-action films or TV series pre Phantom Menace, or will it be left behind? So, Luke, what say you?
Okay, in 2014, 2015, I'd agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think Lucasfilm actually made a conscious effort to just kind of like move away from the prequel trilogy and the prequel era. Now, no, I don't think that. Battlefront 2, massive success. It's having a renaissance. The player base is up.
Mm-hmm.
People are talking about that game again. People are streaming it on Twitch. You know, it's great. It's going really well. A big part of that is because of the Clone Wars expansion.
Yes.
Felucia, which I played on the weekend, and is sick, right? It's so much fun. And then on top of that, Clone Wars Save. You got another season of Clone Wars coming out, right? Lucasfilm have realized there are people my age, your age, George, and Matt's age, that grew up with the prequels, all during different times, right? And it means different things to different people. But we see the prequels through rose-tinted glasses. We see the story, the overall story, and how it's so genius, how it's so clever. We love it. Despite its faults, despite its stupidities, we love it. Lucasfilm know that. And Lucasfilm are going to catch on to that, mate. Trust me, we are going to get prequel era stuff coming our way. Whether it is going to be a prequel, I don't know. I don't know if the Old Republic is actually going to be done via, I don't know, like a trilogy or I think TV series. So yeah, that's my thought. And I obviously books and comics and stuff, yada yada. But we're getting to the meat here, right? I reckon TV series. Matt, what you say, mate?
Pre the Phantom Menace, I think the Old Republic's always being thrown about, so that could quench some of your thirst, George. Like a nice Peroni on a hot summer's day for Luke. How close any to the Phantom Menace would any show or movie be, I don't know, I've got no idea. But I can't imagine we'll get anything just yet that leads directly into episode one, as in, like, we have a TV series that ends just as episode one begins. But I don't think they're done, though. Like you said, I don't think they're quite done with that. Do you know what? Having Benioff and Weiss trilogy and Rian Johnson's trilogy, that gives Lucasfilm a chance to potentially do stories set in the past and the future. It's a no-brainer. Give Benioff and Weiss something pre-Phantom Menace, and I know that just because they did Game of Thrones doesn't mean they're going to be pigeonholed into doing the kind of medieval side of things, if you will. But give Rian Johnson something set in the future, or vice versa. But before the Phantom Menace, you've got infinite time to tell stories. So I think there's going to be. When? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, in the next 10 years, if you ask me to make sportsmen better now, I think in the next 10 years, I think we're going to get something, or we're going to get an announcement of some sort that we're going to get a live action something set before the Phantom Menace. Yeah. What that will be, I don't know. But I think if you ask me in the next 10 years, I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I'm with you there, mate. So, yeah, there we go, George. I think it's a good time to be a Star Wars fan, and it's a great time to be a prequel fan.
Absolutely, and it's always a great time to be a patron. So thank you very much for that, mate. We have dropped our latest podcast episode two, where we are talking about 444 Friday, where me and Luke, we sit down before desperately wanting a burger, despondent about the lack of merch on 444 Friday. It's a real decent, real deep kind of raw conversation, really worth your time. Jibba Jabba with Jabba the Hutt is dropping as well. I'm diving into Raylo, whisper it quietly, talking Raylo, and the Journal Naughty of Luke Blywalker is dropping as well. Luke, what's on the menu this time?
I am chatting about The Mandalorian, Jedi Fallen Order, and will those two products help with the rise of Skywalker's success? Not just financial success, but overall success. So I thought that was an interesting little topic to have a chit-chat about.
Yep, so check it out. We'll give all the links at the end if you want to sign up. All patrons at all tiers get access to all of the bonus material. And we're putting out episodes whenever we want. They're regular, put it like that. We're not sticking to we're going to put out one every 2 months. You know, if we come up with something, we're putting it out there. When you've got a mind like Luke Bly's, you can't hold that down. You can't tie that down. So,
You spicy such on that. It's you, mate. You're pumping out the naughtiness.
Well, I've been accused of that before, my man. MCM Comic Con. We're going to be at Comic Con in, what's that, a week and a half time, 10 days time? So if anyone is going to be there,
yes,
come let us know. We'd love to see you on the show floor. We're going to be there. We're going to be taking videos. We're going to be taking pictures. We're going to be interviewing people. We're going to be at the panels. We're going to be podding. Let us know. We'd love to meet you guys there. And I know Luke cannot wait to meet you guys either.
Star Session Squad live at MCM Comic Con. It don't get much better, does it? And then lastly, Matt, what else we got?
Well, I've been put in my place, mate, for having the gall, the cheek and the nerve to not promote and indeed combine the Galaxy Far, Far Away with progressive Swedish death metal and celebrate their obvious connective tissues. I mean, this and Star Wars is indeed like ham and cheese. It's like Bernard Matthews and turkey. Especially something, may I say, like Opeth's In Corda Venerum or the new Tool album. So, Sir Cabbage, consider this your apology and our oath fulfilled to you.
Yeah, thanks, James. That, and for everyone who doesn't know, that is my brother who messaged that in. And he sent in a few weird messages like this to us. And we thought it was funny time to actually tell you lovely listeners all about James, my amazing brother's awesome messages that, go out there, listen to Opeth, listen to Tool, because Sir Cabbage demands it. And you never know, a Blighday Night special might be round the corner coming for your lovely ears again.
It's going to be so Luke Bligh singing along to Opeth, and I would pay good money for that. So speaking of paying good money,
absolutely.
Should we close these doors? See you later, Bantina. Should we hear from a man with the golden tones?
Mate, we're going from talking about one art form, which is of course Swedish death metal, to an even greater art form: Star Wars poetry, mate.
The pen is mightier than the lightsaber. What Star Wars villain is this? He must be a lord of the Sithy. You should run away, but instead you just stay. If only his poems weren't so pithy. Find me on Twitter at Star Wars Poet, on Instagram and Facebook at Star Wars Poetry. Always Star Wars, always poetry, always original work, posting daily.
A man so revered and heroic that when he was a baby, he didn't have teddy bears. He had real bears. Curtis Smith with a poem about himself. Only Curtis could get away with that. Curtis, last week was a poem all about Star Wars sessions. Me and Luke got name dropped in a poem. This week it's all about the pen being mightier than a lightsaber. And when it's being wielded by yourself, nothing beats it, mate.
Yeah, always Curtis. Always a legend. And I feel like that was almost like a Curtis Inception, a Curtisception, like
meta Curtis.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's just crazy. But there we go. There we go.
Hey, this is Vanessa Marshall, the voice of Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels. And you're listening to Star Wars Sessions, probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast.
And we get on to the last part of the show now. Our favourite part of the show, maybe yours too. It is the game, the Star Wars Chessers game. And guess what? It's my turn.
The game.
Luke has got no idea what the game is. So, do you want to know, mate?
Okay. Oh, mate, I am desperate to know. Right. Bring it on.
It's called 20 Seconds to Go. 20 Seconds to Go. Master Blaster, I'm going to ask you 6 questions, maybe 5. And you have got 20 seconds to provide an answer or a statement to each one. After that, your time's up. So you've got to think fast.
Damn it. Okay, I'm bad at this sort of stuff. Okay, I'm nervous. Let's go.
Right, my man. He's ready. He's nervous. Question number one, Luke Blywalker. What do you want from the next and possibly last The Rise of Skywalker trailer?
Oh, damn it. I want to see Palpatine. Or hear him.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Luke Skywalker too. Yeah, I want that.
Brilliant.
That's what I want. Yeah.
Palpatine and Luke Skywalker. I'm looking forward to the trailer dropping just to stop people posting release the trailer on every Star Wars social post. As if Lucasfilm are going to say, oh, but Bespin Big Boy 86 ask us to release the trailer. Get it ready.
Yeah, it's true.
Back to the game. Right. Resetting the clock.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yep.
Could the rebellion have recovered if Luke Skywalker had missed the Death Star shot? 20 seconds.
Probably not. I mean, they had the Death Star. They were blowing up fools left, right, and centre. They could blow, and they knew where the Death. Nah, they wouldn't have.
Nope.
It all pinned down to Luke.
Fair enough. 19 seconds. You did it just in time, mate. Next question. Here we go. How will the Knights of Ren affect the story in The Rise of Skywalker?
Oh, crap.
5 seconds gone.
I think they're Luke's students. Mm-hmm. They're Luke's old students. And I feel like they will help bring balance to the Force in some way. I think some will die, but not all. And I think some might even be redeemed.
20 seconds is up. So we've got balance to the Force. Some are going to die. Some are going to be redeemed. That's a hot take. I'm going to remember this when the film comes out. Yep. Good shout, though.
Spicy.
3 more.
Thanks, man.
Was Jar Jar Binks secretly a Sith Lord?
A Sith Lord?
Yes.
Yep. That's straight up. No more to
it. We're gonna find out in episode 9. We're gonna find out in episode 9. Trust me.
He's coming.
Trust me, Daddy.
He's coming back. Right. Two more. Do you think we're ever gonna see legacy planets like Hoth, Utapau, Naboo, Coruscant, or Bespin on screen again?
Oh, Coruscant. Yes. Mm-hmm. Coruscant we will, for sure. We got to, right?
So
yeah, I think just with the one, yes. I don't think in episode 9, though. I don't know. Maybe Tatooine? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So Tatooine and Coruscant. Tatooine for episode 9, but Coruscant's coming back eventually. Now, last question.
Yeah.
You've got 20 seconds for this one, my man. Lastly, if you had to choose one Star Wars character to be your best mate, like a Han and Chewie style, who are you picking and why?
It's my boy Finn.
Finn? Yeah.
He is actually my boy Finn. I love that guy. And I genuinely think I'd get along with Finn in real life. Boom.
Bosh. You're both kind of a big deal.
I don't know about that, mate. He's the main dish. I'm just like a little bit of tap water on the side, more like.
Nah, but he hasn't got your hair, has he, mate?
Nah, he's got better hair. Have you seen him in episode 9?
Mate, he's rocking a do there.
He looks sick. He's looking like a right gangster.
His Barnet has come on leaps and bounds since The Force Awakens.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. That was awesome, man. Great idea.
No worries, mate. 20 seconds is up. Now, those Rise of Skywalker ones and the trailer one, which we don't know when it's dropping, but when it does come out, we're going to revisit that. Luke wants to see Master Skywalker and Palpatine. I have no idea if we're going to see either of them. But, good shouts, my man. Good shouts.
No worries, mate. And thank you for organising that, you cheeky, spicy, Star Wars-like muffin.
Oh, I'm at the muffin. Well, next week it's going to get thrown back over to Master Blywalker. The thermal detonator gets thrown to Luke to come up with the game. But for this week, this trailerless week so far, that is that for this episode of Star Wars Sessions. But the fun does not end there. No one's ever really gone. Where can the world find us, Master Blywalker?
Well, Monsieur Hud, they can find us on Twitter at Star Wars Session with no S at the end. That's at Star Wars Session on Twitter. They can slide into our galactic DMs on Instagram at Star Wars Sessions. That's at Star Wars Sessions on Instagram. Or feel free to drop us a cheeky voice note or cheeky message to our email address, SWS at whatiwatchtonight.co.uk. That's SWS. At whatiwatchtonight.co.uk. And if you want to support the show further, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/Star Wars Sessions for as little as $2 a month. You get loads of lovely, delicious content for your earbuds.
Yes, matey, and there may be a giveaway coming soon. We're on Anchor FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere in the galaxy you can find a podcast. We're there, I'm telling you. And if you love our show, please consider giving us a good review on your podcast provider of choice, because it really helps to show out more than you know. And we appreciate all the comments and the support and the love we get. And thank you guys once again.
Absolutely. And please, 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 please tell all your Star Wars friends about us. Tell your mum, tell your dad, tell your mates, tell your cat, tell your dog, tell the geezer who used to sell you dip dabs at the local shop. Tell your cousin, the more the merrier the Kessel spicier.
Tell your Force ghost. Tell him this is the podcast you're looking for. So sadly, until next time, from me, it's see ya, and from Luke,
may the Force be with you always.
Luke.
the greatest teacher failure is.
Tell that to Kanja Club.